In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Before reading our text, I also want to bring those greetings of love and God's peace to all you dear brothers and sisters here in Cokato, from my home congregation in Rockford. We are so close, and it's always so good to come and sit and at the table of the Lord and eat of that good food that God gives to us. And what we see, and no matter where we go and visit, whatever congregation it is, the food is always the same. The table is maybe a different table, but the food is exactly the same. And this gives us much comfort in knowing that God's kingdom is one kingdom. I will read a short portion from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans from the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 5, and we'll hear these words in Jesus' name. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. These are familiar words. Sure, we've heard these words many times. And it is our prayer that God again would enlighten unto each and every one of us as He knows what we need. The theme for this service comes from Romans 1:17, and it is in this way that says, for therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, and the theme is, the just shall live by faith. And so it is, that faith that we heard through our dear brother already, which is oftentimes so small, so weak, we find ourselves to be of such little faith. And wasn't it the prayer of the disciples to Jesus that they said, Lord, increase our faith? And so when we think about faith, and if I were to ask you that, what is faith? I were to tell you to write down on a piece of paper, you young children, if I said, we're in Sunday school, and I gave you an assignment, and I said, write down what is faith, what would you write? The Bible gives a nice, clear description of faith. In the Hebrews 11th chapter, He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is that what we hope for, but we cannot see it. We cannot grab onto it. It's there. We have it in our hearts. Each and every one of us has this living faith in our hearts. If we are a child of God, we have that faith. And we want to preserve it and protect it and believe in it. Abraham was counted righteous for righteousness because he believed, not because of the works that he did. Abraham did works, and they were works, were good works, but that isn't why he was counted for righteousness. Works are just a fruit of our faith. And the good works that we do, we want to give all honor and glory to God. That way we are not tempted by the enemy. The enemy would want us, would want me, would want you to take the credit and the glory for anything good that we do. But how is it, dear brothers and sisters? Isn't it much better when we give thanks to God? When we can push our flesh underneath, push it down, push it behind us, and give honor and glory to God. And so that faith that the former travelers traveled by, and the Bible has many, many stories of the former saints who went before, and they traveled by faith. That's how they reached the destination. And so it says, for by it the elders obtain a good report. And so through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Just imagine how God made everything. You know, God's Word is so miraculous and beautiful and rich in so many ways. I was thinking about that portion in how John says how it was in the beginning. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Everything that we see out there, as we came here today, I was looking out in the fields, and I saw woods, and I saw fields, and I saw crops coming up, and I thought, all of this, and much more there is to see in this world. God made with His Word. He made all this even before He created man. This we believe by faith. Sorry to say that there are many of this world who do not believe. They do not believe that there is a God who created all things and created man and made man from the dust of the earth. Can we prove that God did all of this? Could you go into a science project and figure this all out by science? The world would want to even call it some fancy science name, and I don't even remember, intelligence of some sort. But we believe that God created everything by His Word. And we believe this, and we have faith, and we trust in God. And this Word that John writes about here, and that Word was Christ Jesus. Jesus was with God before He came into this world. He was there even on the wilderness journey with Moses and the Israelites. He was there feeding them the manna, giving them the water they needed. They were eating and drinking of that same spiritual food and drink that you and I are eating of and drinking of today. It's the same. Nothing has changed. We are all here at the feeding trough of the Lord Jesus. And we want to be humble and thankful to God for this gift of faith. We do not deserve it. We have not earned it. We have not even chosen it. He has chosen us, dear brothers and sisters. We have not chosen Him. We cannot take credit in this that we have chosen to be a child of God. And so it is that by faith, Paul writes that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is only through Him that we can have peace, isn't it? Is there any other way that we could have peace on this earth than through our Lord and Savior, Jesus? There is no other way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He stands at the door. If anyone wants to come in, they must come through Him. He stands at the gate. No one can come in over the fence. And I've seen even pictures of this. I've seen this happen in real life where people have tried to come into God's kingdom another way. They have just kind of slipped through the door and came and sat down. And then they would come again and again and again. But they didn't come through the gate where Jesus is. They came in another way. In other words, they didn't repent. First, one must repent to come into God's kingdom. If one is in unbelief and on the outside of God's kingdom, the first thing is one must be seeking peace. The peace of what Jesus gives, and only He gives. They must want to have their sins forgiven. And when they have their sins forgiven, they are a citizen of God's kingdom. They are one of us. That is the only difference between one who walks in the light and one who is in darkness. Because we have our sins forgiven, we know that we are weak children of God. We are sinful. There's no doubt about that. We are sinners. We are often in need of the gospel. Daily. But how good it is that we can have our sins forgiven. We can humble ourselves. And it's important that we have a humble heart. Listen, dear children, when the enemy of souls tempts you, causes you to get angry, maybe tells you that it's okay if you take this without asking or take that, or and you know in your heart that you shouldn't, that it's a sin, that you can freely go to your mother, father, brother or sister who you might have offended and say you're sorry and ask for forgiveness. And this frees you and me. And how good it feels when we can seek that peace that Jesus left us with. We can have that peace. But when we have things on our conscience, things that are bothering us, and this doesn't change from being a child to being an old grandma and grandpa, we fall into sin, and our conscience becomes soiled. And the enemy wants no more than to have us with a soiled conscience, where we're wrangling with this sin inside of our heart, and we can't rest peacefully. This happens to us all through our life, again and again and again, when we go to the fountain of grace and dip from the wells of salvation, that living water that we receive, when the hands are laid upon us, that, dear brother, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven. Oh, how that peace returns. It's so precious. It's the greatest gift that we have. And again and again we can go back. So many times when I go to confess my sins and I receive the forgiveness and it feels so good, I make a promise right there, and I'm sure you do too, that I will never do that again. Never want to fall into that sin again. And I promise to God that I'm not going to do it. But how is it? I can say only for myself that it's not always been so. Again and again I fall. Even though I don't want to. And God knows I don't want to. But the flesh that dwells in me is so corrupt. And so it is. We go from victory to victory. We have our moments where we feel that the grace of God is so carries us, and we almost float through the air with joy and happiness. And then we have our moments when we feel very low, very sinful. We feel that we are like Peter felt when he walked out on that water towards Jesus. When he fixed his gaze on Jesus, he stayed on top of the water. But soon the doubts came. He began to look to the left and to the right. And he saw the storm, the high winds and waves. And he began to doubt and sink. And so that is also a picture of our life. And so we find ourselves to be like Peter, crying out, "Lord Jesus, save me." And this, again and again and again, the Lord Jesus saves us, forgives us our sins. And he said even these words to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And so we don't have to be afraid, do we? And we aren't afraid. When our sins are forgiven, we can travel in freedom and joy and peace. That is the life of a believer. When we are righteous, our sins are forgiven unto us. And we travel in that way. And so, Paul says also in this, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So this hope that we speak about. Paul also writes about this. And he says, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But we hope for that we see not. Then do we with patience wait for it." Let us be patient. Let us wait for that day. That great and glorious day where faith can be changed to seen. Won't that be a wonderful day? It makes this journey of faith, as we heard through our dear brother, worth living. Today we attended a graduation of our son who graduated from Morehead State. And so we went to the graduation. And there was a speaker there who talked about pressing on, pushing forward. And he use this mantra of all these things that seemed impossible. And he kept saying in his own heart, run towards it. Run towards it. It seemed like he was talking about things that he had a lot of deficiencies in, but he kept pressing toward the higher mark. And it's okay to try hard in this life. It's good. It's good to study. It's good to get good grades. It's good to do your best. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to do our best. But I thought of the words that Paul wrote to the Philippians. And he says in this way, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That is the mark that we want to press towards. That prize, that reward there in heaven. What matters, dear brothers and sisters, dear children, if today was your last day in this life? What matters? what you have done. Nothing. It doesn't matter at all. We leave this earth one day. All of us will leave it. What matters the most on that day is that my sins are forgiven and I was heaven acceptable. I was ready to go to heaven. It's a great day to look forward to. We don't even have to fear that day. We can wait for it in earnest, but we wait patiently because God is the giver of life and He takes away life. So He chooses our moment of arrival and departure in this world. All these things we believe, and we have faith in our good God. And we will attain that glory of heaven one day by and through the merit works of Christ Jesus, and none of our own. That's a great comfort to me, and I'm sure it is to you. Isn't that a great comfort? That it's not by anything I've done that I will make it to heaven. That takes a lot of pressure off. All I have to do is humble my heart and put my trust in God. Put sin away. That's a gift. That's another great gift. To be able to confess our sins and put them away. The flesh disagrees with that. And we carry that fleshly portion. Why? Because it doesn't want to admit that we are sinful. Oh, the enemy has all kinds of sermons that why we don't want to admit that I've done this or done that. I've fallen in this way or that way. Oh, I've heard them. I've heard those sermons many times. That they won't even accept you as a believer. The sermons are many of the enemy. But it's never been that way. Every time I have felt this peace that only Jesus gives. And it is in His name and blood that we believe our sins forgiven. And so it is a great comfort. But this text goes on and says, not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. We glory in tribulation. Have any of you ever had trials and tribulations and you've remembered to give thanks to God for those? That doesn't really agree with our carnal portion, does it? But remember that God gives us trials for our benefit. We don't always see the benefit. But just think, dear brothers and sisters, if everything we did in life turned out good, wouldn't we begin to think that maybe we are something? That maybe I am good. Or actually, I am really good. Look at everything I do turns out good. We would forget to give God thanks and praise Him. And so when we have times of trials and difficulties, things that happen to us in our life, and we have no control over how they happened or why they happened. We can't rationally even understand or figure it out. It doesn't even make sense, but yet it's happening. And these are trials. And even in these, we can thank our Heavenly Father. Mainly this, that He has kept me as a child of God. That I am ready when He calls to receive that prize, that reward there in heaven. And so these trials and these tribulations, as Paul says, that they worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Isn't it amazing how all these things come together? Dear young, dear youth, dear young mothers and fathers, the enemy of soul is not idle with any of us. We go through difficult times in life, through all ages. But I say to you, when you are struggling, go to an experienced traveler, one who has traveled those footsteps that you're in. When you are struggling, seek advice, for they will, that experience that they have, they will be able to help you, counsel you with their life experience and what the Holy Spirit has taught them, what they have learned in the congregation, how God has helped them and showed them, maybe even years later, as we heard through our brother when we pray, that God oftentimes answers later. Sometimes He answers right away. And maybe He might even never give us an answer. But in that prayer, Jesus says, we pray to God, Thy will be done. And when we accept His will as the best for us, that is how we find peace. And when we pray to God in sincerity, He gives us peace. In the Proverbs, in the third chapter of the Proverbs, it's one of my favorite portions of God's Word that I like to read, and it helps me often get through times where maybe I'm thinking about trials of either myself or even someone else. But it says in this way, if I can find it here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. These are good words, aren't they, dear brothers and sisters, for each and every one of us. God promises to take care of His own. And so we can have that kind of confidence in God that He will never forsake us. And that hope maketh not ashamed, Paul writes. Are you ashamed of this hope that you have? You are not ashamed. Rather, you are very thankful, aren't you? Could you wish for anything better than this gift of faith that you own? Would you trade it for anything? Is there anything in this world that I could give you today that you would give up your faith for in exchange? Nothing. It's the most valuable gift that you own. Don't give it up. Protect it. When the enemy tries to take it away, when this world takes it away, tries to take it away from you, or when your own flesh tries to tear it away, to enjoy the pleasures and sins of this world, tell them to get behind. For you are on the way to heaven. And you do not want to give up this gift. Hold on to it securely. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so this love of God, the love of Christ for each and every one of you here tonight, is greater love than we can even comprehend. He has loved us more than anything. He wants us to get to heaven. He created us for heaven. And He wants us to get there. And so we can securely believe tonight in this Holy Ghost that is in each and every one of our hearts, leading and guiding, helping us, protecting us against the onslaughts of the enemy. And this gospel that Paul says that he is not ashamed of, neither are you, and neither am I. Lift up your heart even now and believe all sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. If you feel, there's one that feels tonight here that their faith has been snuffed out. The flickering of the candle has gone out. I want to encourage you, the weakest, the poorest, the faultiest sinner, lift up your heart to believe all your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious blood. And that flame is again ignited and warmed by the fires of God's Word and His Gospel. He loves you. You are the apple of His eye. He loves the sinners. Though He does not love the sin, He loves the sinners. Isn't it good to know that God loves sinners? The enemy has been lying to you, telling you that you are not worthy to be a believer because you are so sinful. Yet we know that God loves the sinner. He hates the sin, but He loves the sinner. Tonight He wants to bless you and keep you and protect you in His care. And He promises to do this. And I come in before you tonight. I came with also many, many, many doubts and fears. And I want to also be comforted with that gospel. Can I believe my many doubts and sins forgiven? And so I say to you, dear brothers and sisters, let us press toward the goal of heaven. Fix your gaze there, towards heaven. And one day we can leave this world behind, and it will be that perfect bliss beyond all measure. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite our hearts in closing prayer and benediction. Holy and righteous God, our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you have warmed us with here tonight. We ask for your continued blessing through this weekend, that you would protect us even through the night. But if it would be so that we would be called from this life tonight, we wait for that, and wait for that day in heaven to be with you. But we ask for your protection mainly in this, dear Father, that we would be kept in your care, in your kingdom, under the hand of your Son, our dear Savior, Jesus. And we enclose this night asking for your blessing. Our Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us. Give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.